As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There will be some surprises tonight in the NFL Draft, round one. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, hanging out. Members draft party, which will happen a little bit later on. But, Mike, the one thing that won't be a surprise is Cam Ward, right? We all know, at least we think, Cam Ward is going to be the number one selection by the Tennessee Titans. And that's not going to surprise anybody. I think that's kind of been the case at least going back a month now. But, you know, when Tennessee came out and said, hey, we are keeping the number one overall pick, we are not going to trade it away, everybody said, oh, it's a done deal, they're going to get Cam Ward. But the crazy thing about this, before we let you hear what Emory had to say coming up here, Emory Hunt from CBS, is, Mike, guys that do this every day in the NFL are saying, well, yeah, but if he came out last year, he'd be like the sixth or seventh best quarterback.
Right, that's the knock.
In the draft. And you're going, well, wait a minute, why is he number one this year?
Right.
If he only would have been the sixth or seventh best quarterback, by the way, behind a guy like Michael Penix last year,
right.
Okay? And it's timing. Guys, when you come out, you know, this is why guys decide to go back to school, and it's also why guys decide to come out. He came out in a year where it just happens to be a situation where all of a sudden he catapults to the top of the draft, and because quarterbacks are such a commodity, Mike, he's going to get picked number one. But he would not have been picked number one if he came out last year.
Right, and that's what has a lot of folks going. So this guy, all of a sudden, as you just laid out the scenarios, he's number one, but a guy that would, you know, be number two in this class all of a sudden isn't even in the top 25 or top 32. Talking about Shedeur Sanders, we've asked all our experts, all our analysts. We'll hear more of those comments coming up, guys, later in the show, live from the Benz. But it just drives me nuts, and you said it. Yes, I mean, does he hold on to the ball too long? Sure. Well, so the hell did Josh Allen. Josh Allen had a competition level that was negligible, Carl, coming out of Wyoming, and there's things you can fix. I think Brian Daboll would be that guy. The Giants apparently spent more time looking at him in person, workouts, going to Colorado than any other player. Just to pass on him? I don't know. Unless it's just a giant smokescreen. They're looking to get people to trade up, and they still think they can get their edge rusher moved down.
That's a lot of investment, though.
Right.
I mean,
and this has all been reported. This isn't gossip. This has actually happened.
No, it's absolutely happened. And you know, when you talk about the time and investment on a particular player, only these teams privately know what they've done behind the scenes and, you know, what they've invested. But to hear the Giants have been doing what they've done over the last couple of seasons when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, it's saying a lot if they don't draft him tonight. Either way, Cam Ward, and I'll be clear about this too. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad quarterback. I'm just saying how these circumstances change year in and year out, you know, with the rankings and when guys come out and if you're going to be the top overall pick or not. He will be tonight with the Tennessee Titans. Let's hear what Emory Jones had to say on Andy and Randy as we continue to break down the draft here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The first question Andy and Randy asked was, where do you think that the Falcons are going to go with the 15th overall pick?
I think they go defensive line, and it encompasses whether it's a defensive lineman per se or an edge rusher. I think that's where not only the need for the Falcons kind of leads you to believe, but also just where the talent is in the draft in terms of where they are picking and what could be potentially there for them at 15.
Hey, and because there's not like, because every year the quarterback, they push good prospects back because team won't quarterback. Because there doesn't seem to be a big lock of, you know, quarterbacks being drafted in the top 10 or 3, do you think there'll be a lot or less trades in the first round?
I think we'll see more trades, to be honest, because what's fascinating about that is when you think about how teams are talking or how everyone is talking about Ashton Jeanty and how everyone is talking about, you know, Tetteroa McMillan, or how everyone is talking about Tyler Warren, and there are a few teams to kind of say, man, this is a perfect fit for X, Y, and Z player, like a Jeanty, McMillan, or Warren, it kind of yields itself to teams like, hey, man, you know, if I'm the Colts and I think the Jets have a potential of taking a Tyler Warren, I might want to call Jacksonville to see if I can get up to get that guy. Or if I'm Chicago and I think a team like the Raiders or the Cowboys may be on the phone with the Raiders or on the phone with Jacksonville trying to get up to get a Jeanty, man, we better move up and go get that guy. So I think we'll surprisingly see a lot of movement because of certain players and teams that have really good depth on their roster on both sides of the ball can take those targeted chances to get that one guy that they feel like can push them over the top.
One of my favorite things about talking to you this time of year is you're not afraid to – give your opinion of the position rankings. Like, you're not just going to say what everybody else is saying or what might be the least likely to be wrong or whatever. Like, we've had years where you've come on and told us about a random linebacker out of Montana and then the Falcons take him in the second round. I want to ask you about the because I think it's pretty consensus now that Cam Ward's going to go number one. I'm interested to know how you view the quarterback position after that. Is it Shador, and then who's there, and how does it sort of break down one through three or four for you?
Well, for me, and the tweets are there, the receipts are there, I've always had this take, and it's Shador 1, Cam 2, Milroe 3, I have Brady Cook 4, and I have Graham Mertz right now at 5, or at 5.
See? Just like I said, Emery's going to tell you what he thinks.
Yes.
Not what everybody else is saying. I love it.
Well, here's the thing about the Shador thing. Maybe I'd be looking at things logically. And because just last year, right, all you heard, well, just last year and all throughout this whole, you know, since 1920, all you've heard was, well, you got to play the position from the pocket. Yep. It's about timing, touch, accuracy, anticipation. You know, it's about how you play on third downs, managing the game, good inside the red zone. And then I watched Shador play for 4 straight years at 2 different downtrodden programs that he elevated. And now the conversation is, well, you got to be able to throw off script. You got to be able to move outside. You got to be able to be an athlete. Like, I can't keep up when the narrative changes, right? Because if you told me someone since 1869, right, Harriet Tubman was alive still then. So since then, this dude is the most accurate passer in college football history. What are we talking about? Like, why is this not, why is this a question, right? So if you look at someone like Shador, and I said this when he was at Jackson State, he plays like Joe Burrow. And it's funny because everything that we hear about Joe Burrow or heard about Joe Burrow coming out of LSU was like, he doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not the most athletic. He takes a lot of sacks. He holds on the ball too long. Man, that sounds a lot like what we're hearing about Shador Sanders. And when you think about Sanders and you think about how he's able to excel consistently, think about this. His first 2 games, first game at Jackson State and his first game at Colorado, were comeback victories, upset wins against top 25 opponents. First was against FAMU and torrential downpour. They won that game 7-6. And the one against TCU where he threw for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, and people were saying, well, we don't know if it's going to translate because he did that at Jackson State. Can he do it against the big boys? Well, how about that debut, right? And so I just find that whole conversation comical. And I'll just quickly touch on Brady Cook. When you look at Brady Cook's profile, athletic profile, and his statistics and his play, it looks a lot like Andy Dalton at TCU. And what we love about Dalton at TCU, grit, competitive gamer, had his team playing in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin and led the Bengals to a lot of AFC North titles and postseason berths. Brady Cook is going criminally underrated right now in this process.
And we're pretty sure that Abdul is going to be the first defensive lineman going off. Who's, in your opinion, the second and third guys? And I was mainly asking about where those guys from Georgia you think will be at.
I look at – it's fascinating because I said this before too, where you look at these Georgia prospects on defense and don't even look at statistics. Just look at how they play. Mm-hmm. And because they're asked to play in a certain scheme and be a certain way, But when you look at their tools as a whole, you see some very good translatable skills and good football players. So Mikael Williams to me is more of a you know, five tech. And so some teams can, you know, look at him up front along the defensive line, kind of like how Trayvon Walker is. And he'll have sacks because he's a very good athlete. I think Jalen Walker can play all three linebacker positions. I graded him as my number one outside linebacker, more like a Sam guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's a better blitzer than he is a pure pass rusher, which is why I like him more linebacker than opposed to edge rusher. And when you think about Chambliss and how he plays, like every time I look up, he's making some big-time play. This to me, if you're looking at this from a, hey, this is our scheme, we need someone to fit that particular scheme, you'll find it's like going shopping at Costco at Georgia because they have a bevy of those guys that can fit in whatever you need them to do. And they've shown that they're both coachable and also talented to handle that responsibility.
Emory Hunt joining Andy and Randy talking about the NFL draft. And as we said, Mike and I trying to give you all the different perspectives. He was talking about Shador. And again, you know, oh, he can do that at Jackson State. He won't be able to do it. He did it at Colorado. And again, if the numbers don't matter, then why don't we talk about him? Like, I heard him talk about, you know, some of the games he had. Now, he had a terrible game against Kansas where the team didn't play well. They had a chance to maybe clinch the conference, and they didn't get it done. But, Mike, if the numbers don't matter and we say, all right, well, I want a quarterback who throws X amount of touchdowns or, you know, his completion percentage is good. If I told you guys and you didn't know what his name was and I said, I got a quarterback who has an incredibly high IQ and he's accurate as hell, would you be interested? That's Shador Sanders.
Right. But as we've said from the jump, and like I'm a big, you know, full disclosure, I'm a huge Deion Sanders fan, like a lot of Atlanta Falcon fans are. He is paying the price for his dad's juice and the swag and everything they've done. Now, again, did he maybe blow off some of these teams as they've reported? Apparently came in with some attitude. Well, that's happened before. Other players have basically given the high hand to some teams they've interviewed because they don't want to go there. They feel the franchise is dysfunctional or it's a bad fit. You know, it's funny. When Eli Manning, it's because it's funny how if it's Archie Manning that organizes a guy going somewhere else.
It's okay.
Or John Elway.
Yeah.
And Deion's not even doing that. It's not like Deion came in and said, he's not going to so-and-so. He's not going to play for the Giants or Cleveland. That's not even in the conversation. But I just think there's a lot of OGs and old-school pushback on that. And I said this, you know, years ago. I saw Lamar Jackson. He's one of the most electrifying players I've ever seen in person in college. And I said, I mean, how this guy's one of the last guys selected in the NFL draft is mind-blowing to me.
I'm with you. 404-726-0929. Good stuff there from Emory Hunt. More of our experts to come, guys. You're going to hear from our buddy Greg Cosell, who breaks down every edge rusher that we've talked about, from Shamar Stewart all the way to Landon Jackson to James Pierce. You'll hear that coming up next hour, Mike. Zeke hits us up on Twitter and says, fellas, why are Falcon fans panicking? They're going to do the right thing today. They're panicking because when we started the show today, I told you, the history of what has happened the last few years, people are like on edge. I think they're going to do exactly what we need to do. But I understand the uncomfortableness that comes with, are you sure? Are you sure they're going to need to do?
I'm a Falcon fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I don't trust the front office. I mean, but you can't come here and just sit there like, oh, we're going to screw it up. It's going to be stupid. You know, you don't want to be that fan. So, yeah, that's why guy just hit me up. Speaking of Mr. Negative, this is the most overblown event in sports. Look, the NFL is King Kong. Everything the NFL does from the release of the schedule, right, to the draft is huge because the top 50 TV shows are the NFL. It is Pac-Man. And if you're not into it, knock yourself out. But as this thing has grown exponentially, it's just become great theater because there are general managers that will do things which will have people scratching their heads. There are some things which you didn't expect. And now with the fantasy component, I heard Bo Johnson talking about on Andy Randy where Ashton Gentry goes. That's going to be your first pick in your fantasy draft if he goes to the Raiders, for instance.
No doubt. Here's the other part of this, though, Mike. I mean, look – the uniqueness of the draft, it is still the one draft that you know the players.
Right.
Okay? Major League Baseball draft, trust me, I covered a bunch of them. It's nothing. And half the guys in 10 years, you won't know where they are, and it takes most of these guys 4 to 6 years to get to the major league.
Did you know who Kelnick was?
No.
You know what he was?
No.
Top pick?
No. Okay? You know what I mean? I covered it.
Bomb.
The NBA draft used to be this.
Right.
But it has evolved because it's a global game now. It's changed. You don't keep up with all the players. The last 3 years, guys, we've had Frenchmen go number one overall. Right. You had no idea.
Well, you knew. You had a great knowledge of it when guys stayed in college for 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
And now part of it is, you're right, the one and done. You know, it's all betting on the come.
But you had no idea who these three Frenchmen were.
Nope.
Okay?
No idea.
The NFL draft is so compelling because you watch college football. You still know who's coming. And the fact that the NFL, to Mike's point, is such a juggernaut that there's this connection that your team is going to get some of your favorite players. It's easy money, man. What are you talking about? Like, this is not overblown. It's not overrated. This is exactly what it has become over probably the last 20 years. Because if you look at the old footage, I saw something today where Pete Rozelle, he's drawn on a chalkboard with the picks, right, and he's going, you know, Buffalo, Atlanta, and you're going, they went from a chalkboard to this? But it's the growth of the game and the fact that we care about these college players and the connection of, where are my guys going to go? Every Georgia fan is wondering, how many Georgia Dogs are going to go and where are they going
to
end up?
Well, that's just it. I mean, to the Mr. Grumpus over there, I think this is overblown. It's the intersection of our two most favorite sports, pro football and college football. It's the two most popular sports from viewership, from all the metrics out there, and that's why it's as big as it is. And again, if your team is, if your team has struggled, it's a chance, because that's the one thing, and that's why they always tape it, and that's why we always hate we keep them in the computer, because Carl, someday we're going to get the guy who's going to be the transformative person who gets the bust in Canton, who's going to be the guy that resets the entire franchise, and it's happened before. We've seen it with just one pick. That's why. That's why we watch.
All right, guys.
4-4-7. You grumpy, miserable dude. Go watch the NBA playoffs. Which, by the way, numbers are up, by the way.
No, numbers are great, man. NBA's doing fine. They've got young stars. It's fun. I have no issue with the NBA. It's just the idea, like, oh, I don't understand what the big fuss is about the draft. Well, then you're not a football fan, because you're not giving an opportunity of the team that either you watch or your college football team the props that they deserve. All right, 404-726-0929. Great meme of Raheem on the phone saying, you want to be a Falcon, bro?
Yeah, man. And I've been throwing names out there. We gave you a couple. And Carl generally knows. Carl has sources. Carl has sources in the league.
And you will find out at 6:50 tonight.
Carl, because a guy hit me up and goes, who's Carl's sources? I don't know. He's got sources. I have guys like Drunk Larry and Don Mojito. Carl has guys in the league. And, and I used to have Deep Falcon, a former Falcon player who I don't know, he was admonished, Carl. He used to give us a lot of good intel. But that source has been plugged. That leak is gone. The plumber's got to him. So we're going to depend on our man, C. Dukes, who's going to give you the tea sometime in the 6 o'clock hour.
The hay's never in the barn.
Well, yes,
the hay
is
in the barn?
Yes, it is. The hay is in the barn, Terry. Stop fibbing. Mike, we just, like I said today, we've been in the area code, right? The idea last year, when 2 days before the show, and I said to my partner, what if I told you they drafted a quarterback? He lost his mind, and everybody else did. You're dumb, you're silly, Dukes, you're an idiot. I said, okay. They might have conviction to draft this kid, this quarterback. They really like him. I don't know if they will, but and then it happened, and everybody said, oh, my God. All I know is we're in the area code. Tonight, I think we're going to be in the area code as well.
All right,
man, more to get to. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, including new deals. Tyler Lockett has a new team. Also, we'll talk about the new highest-paid safety. It is no longer Jesse Bates. We'll tell you about that in our 4th and 1 segment coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.